Welcome to Amazon Legends, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became power sellers. Also providers specializing in helping sellers, aggregators that acquire sellers, and former Amazonians will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here is your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. My next guest today started working for his dad at trade shows who represented manufacturers. He then dabbled in digital marketing, which led him to turn his dad's business of representing manufacturers into an Amazon agency. So today he's the founder and CEO of Anderson Associates, which is a full service Amazon agency. But this is not your typical agency where they just provide certain services. They take part and they operate the account on hands-on themselves. So they are accountable for the results direct to their clients. So when he's not working, he likes to be physical with gym and soccer. And he just told me before we started recording that he had a new baby just a couple of days ago, another addition to the family. So I'm very happy to invite him back to the show. With that, everybody, meet my guest, Blair Anderson. Welcome to the show, Blair.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, oh, fresh baby last week.
Yeah, last week. So goodbye to sleeping, right, for a little while.
Yes, goodbye for sleeping, yeah.
So talk about being lazy. So with this whole AI revolution going on, everybody listening to this show, you have to stay with us throughout the show because we're going to talk about AI. So Blair has masterminded how to use AI since he actually works hands-on on Amazon accounts that he services. He needs all the help he can get. So he figured out how to use AI. So we're going to dig into how we're going to use AI. So with that, Blair, tell us, how do you use AI to be more productive, more profitable on Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely. Five different ways, mainly. We're talking about content optimization, content generation, finding trends and outliers, getting snapshots on your current business, and partial automation.
So these are five big areas. So I'm assuming that you can't just go to ChatGPT or whatever and say, okay, give me the trends. So you have to do certain things. So every one of these is a loaded subject, so to speak. So it's a good roadmap for our discussion today. So we're going to cover how you use AI. And by the way, what do you use? Do you use ChatGPT or do you use something else?
Yeah, ChatGPT is my favorite. And, you know, ChatGPT is owned by a company called OpenAI, and OpenAI has a platform of APIs. So you can, you know, I like to use the APIs and I like to, yeah, experiment with ChatGPT as well.
Okay. So this is all about using ChatGPT for your Amazon operation. First, we're going to cover how to use ChatGPT to optimize your content. What do you feed and what do you get and how do you use it? And then we'll move into generating new content. And then I guess there is some thing about trends. So it's about data. So we're going to cover feeding data into ChatGPT. How do you feed it and what do you do with it? And then snapshots. And snapshots, of course, that means a lot of data needs to be fed into ChatGPT. And so that you can have a quick view of where you are. And then finally, automation happens to be my favorite subject. So these are all things that I'm dying to get into. Great. So let's start with the optimization. So where do we start?
You know, whenever I'm talking to people about it, it's always good to like really understand where they're at, because some clients might have, or some brands might have 10 SKUs in their product line, and some companies might have 10,000 products in their warehouse. So it's always a different conversation of where you're trying to get really intense quality or do the work at scale. So you know, things you can do with ChatGPT and OpenAI. You can do this with other AI companies as well, but ChatGPT is definitely the most synonymous with AI these days. Mm-hmm. You can actually basically copy and paste your current product description into ChatGPT, and immediately you can ask it to give you three customer personas for this product. And you don't have to, you know, try to update your content, because the AI is so smart these days, and it's getting better over time, that it can tell you your customer personas. And then you could, if you wanted to, right? We know Amazon can do A/B testing with content. You can ask it to rewrite your content for the context of each of those customer personas. And then you can plug back into the A/B test platform on Amazon to give you, you know, a fresh set of eyes, basically, and a fresh chance to grow your sales, because you're utilizing Amazon's A/B testing and then ChatGPT to rewrite your content. You're not asking it to make up features. You're just asking it to basically reword from a new context that you might not have thought about as a brand owner.
Okay. So I want to dissect this a little bit, because there's a few things here. So first of all, I heard you mention you put your product description. So you have your title, your bullets, and your description, which is much longer. So are you talking about any one of those, or are you just talking about the general description that you just free flow type into ChatGPT?
I'm talking about any one of those. You can literally say, rewrite these bullet points from the context of user persona A, and it will come back with bullet points that are rewritten. You can tell it to, you know, write 200 characters. You could tell it to write 50 characters. You can be very specific about the format and the shape of the content that comes back out. So, you know, a lot of people like to optimize their titles for mobile experiences. Mm-hmm. You could paste in a list of bullet points, and then you can actually say, write a mobile optimized title for this product.
So at the beginning, you mentioned that have ChatGPT give you three different personas.
Yep.
For your customers. So, and then you have the bullets and the title and the description for each one of those personas. So when you ask ChatGPT to give you three different personas, what information are you feeding? Any description as you would describe to a friend or whoever?
Oh, yeah. You can copy and paste your bullets and your long description. Probably even just the title and the bullets is enough information for ChatGPT to know what the product is very well, right? If you say blender, if you say commercial blender, just, you know, most business owners, most people who work with Amazon could already start to guess, oh, if it's a commercial blender, it's stronger, it's heavier duty, it's maybe a bigger motor, maybe more durable plastic. There's just things. And ChatGPT and most AI these days just can start to, they know so much about the world because it's read basically all of the text on the internet, and it can just start to provide more description about whatever product you're putting in. So you don't need to feed a lot of data into the system to get a lot of information back out, helpful information.
Okay. So another very interesting way to utilize this that I heard you mention, using Amazon experiments. I mean, this about a year ago, I guess these experiments are about a year old, right? So we record this in the end of October 2023.
Yeah.
So experiments came out only in the last year or so. I think so. This is very handy because you can then couple what ChatGPT gives you with those experiments, and you can run experiments on all the content.
Absolutely.
It's a great way to do it. Yeah, I mean, definitely, definitely, it's a great idea. So how about A-plus pictures? I mean, A-plus content. Do you use it for A-plus content?
Yes, absolutely. You know, you have limitations, right, with your title and your bullet points. You don't always want to write too much, but A-plus content, we know, is a great place to add more information. And OpenAI and ChatGPT, they just released their image generator. Mm-hmm. Or they didn't just release it, but it's on the third version and it's the best it's ever been. So you can, right now, you can actually go to ChatGPT and ask it to create an image of almost anything you want. Like, you could have it create your business logo. You can have it give you an image of, you know, probably Jeff Bezos even. It would create an image of him, you know, riding a horse or whatever. ChatGPT can generate an image of literally anything you want. So what very soon you're able to do is upload your own image and say, give me a new variation of this. So you can upload an image of a toast. Actually, Amazon themselves just released it's in testing, because I saw one of their high up executives post a video on Twitter or X, whatever. And they've implemented this image generation tool inside of their advertising platform. So they upload an image of a toaster, and then they say, you know, in a modern kitchen, in a classic kitchen, in a country kitchen. And the AI is changing the background in front of your eyes so that when you have your advertisement, you know, it's giving you multiple variations. That, and each of those variations kind of spoke to what I said before, is those different images are speaking to your different customer personas. Whether you really realize it or not, the person who lives in a country house, or they like that, they're going to gravitate towards that image, and it might help sell your product better. So Amazon is implementing this inside their tools. You know, I would expect within a year, Seller Central is going to have some of these tools built into, you know, the enhanced content builder. You're going to be able to ask it. But right now, we use ChatGPT and OpenAI to basically, help build A-plus content, help build the infographic style artwork. It's been wonderful just to, you know, you're basically getting graphic design skills to a person who just knows what helps sell the product, and like, okay, I just need to get it on a decent, on a good looking image. Like, let's make it look good so we can sell this thing. So yeah, it's been wonderful.
Well, I mean, if you hire a designer, the designer is going to ask you what you want, right? So you have to provide the requirements and blah, blah. So with this, and I have a question for you, Blair. A-plus content. So obviously, as you know, you have a standard A-plus and you have premium A-plus. So does ChatGPT know the difference between the two? Have you tested that?
It doesn't. It will. That's a scenario. Well, it will. The technical term is hallucination. If it doesn't know the answer, it often guesses the answer and acts like it knows the answer. So that's where a lot of the critics will say, hey, this AI is saying things that don't even exist. So why lawyers are getting in trouble, because it's citing cases that don't ever exist. So it won't know the exact difference right now, just because we know that Amazon, the tools are behind a paywall, right? You have to be an Amazon seller. So ChatGPT, but now actually, as of last week or so, you can upload PDFs. You can upload spreadsheets to ChatGPT. So what you can actually do is you could get the enhanced content spec documents. You know how Amazon provides those 50-page PDFs of how to use the tools? Right. You can upload that to ChatGPT and then start saying, hey, help me generate enhanced content for this product using the specifications I've uploaded, and it can read your PDF and know immediately, you know, it'll know the rules.
You are educating ChatGPT to give you the answer you want.
Exactly. So a lot of people think of ChatGPT as, you know, it is your assistant. If you hire a real assistant in real life, you have to train them as well.
Right, right.
You hire an employee, you have to train them. But with ChatGPT, you know, you train them once and it's pretty good.
So Blair, I have a practical question for our listeners' benefit. You mentioned the API for ChatGPT. When you say you use ChatGPT, are you referring to just going to ChatGPT website and putting in the information? Or are you talking about some kind of a more clever API connection where you're doing other things?
Yeah, I'll say both. I typically use ChatGPT, like going to the OpenAI website that everyone knows about. That's where I'll do an experiment where I'll copy and paste in text, because to really get value out of ChatGPT, you have to write prompts that work. And the prompt is another way of, teaching your assistant, right? You're teaching the assistant what you want it to do. So that's the technical term, is a prompt. So there's jobs called prompt engineers, you know, prompt management, where your people, their full day is figuring out how to get the most value out of ChatGPT. So I use ChatGPT to experiment. So I'll copy and paste the product in and work on the prompt, right? Mm-hmm. But then when I'm working on my Amazon work, I might have 1,000 products in one product line. So I'm using the OpenAI APIs essentially, because no person is going to want to sit there and copy and paste 1,000 things. So I can use my system, you know, upload a spreadsheet, say, here's the prompt, here's the product, and it'll go through. It'll make requests, API requests to OpenAI to say, you know, optimize this product, give me 3 customer personas. You know, APIs is kind of a big conversation of just, I think we're going to talk about automation later, but that's how you can do kind of bulk work, systematic work with API tools.
Okay. All right. So let's now move on to generating content.
Yep.
So tell us about how to generate content using ChatGPT.
Yeah. So fairly similar to content optimization, but ChatGPT can basically start to create, you know, it can help you write your product description when you never had a product description. You can give it just like product features, right? I think back to our Blender example. I do not, you know, disclosure, I don't sell any Blenders. I have no clients that sell Blenders. So I don't know why that popped into my head, but you can just paste in very features, right? Or attributes, the motor strength, and it can start to generate your long description. It can generate that A+ content text if you want it to. You know, it might hallucinate, and that's where you have to go back to your prompt and say, okay, the company description is this, the company history, the brand name. What is the brand? What is the brand about? Is it a fun brand? Is it a serious commercial brand? You can give it those words and just a very short bit of information about a product, and it will create very lengthy content for you if you want it to.
And can you use that content as is? Because I'm always hearing you can't just use what ChatGPT gives you. You have to ultimately decide and you have to make changes, because then the systems will detect that this is AI generated and it's not going to be effective.
Yeah, that is, I'll say it's kind of there's a lot of nuance to that question, because some people say Google search engine like detects AI text and downranks it. That is not true. And we know that Amazon is starting to build AI tools into their product editors. So we know that like they just want to sell. Amazon wants to sell more product.
Right.
At the end of the day, Amazon wants to sell more product through seller fees or their 1P business. They want to sell more. So there's no fact that AI content is going to get you in trouble or anything. The second part, which is much more real, is the hallucination. So if you don't put up the guardrails, it will make up something about your brand. It'll state your brand was founded in 1935 and it might not have been, right? If the AI thinks it sounds good, and if you're asking it to be creative, it will be creative.
Yeah.
When you use the API, there's an interesting thing that you can set that doesn't exist on ChatGPT, and it's a feature called the temperature. So when you're on, the temperature is basically built in to the system, and you're giving the AI freedom and creativity. So if you set your temperature high, it will make stuff up, which is great if you're writing a novel about dragons or whatever. Be creative. But when you have a product and you want it to stay to the facts, that is, you don't want the temperature very high. But, sometimes it benefits you. Really what it is it, as business owners, as people working on these Amazon accounts, it's giving you inspiration to create new content that helps you sell better. So it's, I didn't think of saying it like that. So rarely, when you're generating content, rarely are you copying and pasting back into Amazon and just taking it word for word. Especially if, when it's your brand, you know that the AI has never seen your brand before. So you're going to want to just review it yourself, edit it yourself, make sure it's human and from your voice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just said it. It's at the end of the day, this is your product.
Exactly.
Or you're representing it. And you've got a job, and the job is to create the content. So
absolutely.
You can do it in two ways. You can either have all the answers, you know exactly what to say, and then you sit down and start producing the content, or you need assistance to give you ideas, to inspire you, to give you a different perspective. That's what AI is for.
Exactly. So,
and another way I do it is I actually write the stuff, and then I just feed it into AI and say, rephrase this in a more mainstream language. And so it gives me back something that's probably, not being a native English speaking person.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Not that native English speaking people have perfect grammar.
No.
So it gives it to me in a much, much more, better written language and more main. So ultimately, I would say to everybody, absolutely use AI, but use it for assistance. Don't just take it and copy paste and then you think it.
Well, another common thing is just saying, rephrase this from a sixth grade reading level. Right? Make it very basic.
Yeah.
Just to get, you know, maybe your corporate jargon out, or maybe, yeah, some technical words that could be more simple to reach a broader audience. It very well might help you connect with more people. So
yeah.
It's just, especially with the A/B testing, it's just a lot of tools at people's hands. And this is really, you know, AI really got good this year in 2023. Like OpenAI has been available for a few years, but it really got good this year. And you're talking about huge amounts of investments, right? You're talking about the Amazon, Google, Microsoft dumping huge amounts of money into their own versions of AI tools, right? Google and, right? We all talk about ChatGPT because it's the most popular, but Amazon has their own kind of copycat of that. Google has their own. So just because they're the ChatGPT is the first doesn't mean it's going to be the winner.
By the way, yesterday we were doing something, and this is an interesting situation. I was working with my team member who is offshore, and we were looking at some, this was for technical information. So we asked ChatGPT, is there an Amazon API call for this? And ChatGPT said, no, there isn't. Now, I happen to know that there is.
Right.
So I go to Google AI and Bard, and I ask Bard, and Bard gave me the answer, gave me the exact code, it gave me the API call, and gave me the exact the example of how that works.
Yeah.
And then I asked another version of that call and gave me the same again. Now, this time you use this filter, and here is an example. And then I said to my team member, take a look at this. This is interesting. He plugs it in, and his version of Bard said it's not available.
Yeah. So
location is, I'm thinking location is the only difference. So I said, okay, open an incognito window. Didn't make any difference. We didn't change, you know, we didn't use proxy servers or anything to see.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Your VAs, if you are using VAs and you ask them to do work with AI, they may not actually get the results.
Yeah, exactly.
In the US. So I did not think about that. So it's something important.
Yeah, I've not seen that. Another topic I did want to talk about with content generation is about video and audio. A lot of people talk about, you know, ChatGPT is all text-based mostly, but there's other companies that will let you create video and create audio. Like, I've been experimenting with one of my employees of creating an AI version of my voice so that I can, you know, have a product copy script, type in the script, and it will create the audio that sounds exactly like me, right? We've seen, you know, the fake politician videos, the fake celebrity videos. That's just a different type of AI, you know, machine learning tool that takes a voice in, recreates a copy, and lets you say whatever you want. So, you know, for content generation, we know that videos also help sell on Amazon, right?
Sure.
So even if you have kind of a basic slideshow that has the text, because people are on their phone and they might be easier to push play than it is to scroll and read the description and read the reviews to get the information. So you could just plug in a script. You know, a lot of people, they you're not going to go hire a voice actor, and you might not want to read it yourself. A lot of these AI audio tools can, or video and audio, they can give you basically a voice actor at a very cheap price compared to a real voice. So we've been playing with these three things, is creating images and creating videos and creating text. What's
your favorite AI tool for creating videos?
The main company is Runway AI. And I believe they're behind what's called Stable Diffusion, which is the image AI platform. It's called open source software, right? So it's the model, if you will, behind all this image generation stuff is a tool called Stable Diffusion. So if you're a software developer, you could download Stable Diffusion onto your computer. I mean, I think it's like hundreds of gigabytes, so it's not super easy to get access to. So there's all these companies that have figured out how to sell it. Well, you may have heard of Midjourney.
Sure, yeah.
So all these companies are using Stable Diffusion, and they are, or I think. And so, yeah, Runway is a very kind of mature tool for creating video stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm dying to talk about how you use the data. So finding trends and outliers. So tell us what data are you feeding into ChatGPT and how you are. Tell us the hands-on version of how you go about doing it.
Sure. So this, I'll say, pardon me, not using ChatGPT as much, but they did just release a thing. I think it's called Data Integrator or Data. I should know this, but AI tools are able to read in a spreadsheet, and all these systems can tell you, you know, what is an outlier and what is a normal thing. Mm-hmm. So you could, for any product that you have, upload a spreadsheet of sales and have it spot an outlier for you. I use a machine learning tool that's not like these OpenAI things. It just helps you spot trends. And similar with spotting trends is basically building a forecast forward. So yeah, it's just about, you know, garbage in, garbage out is very true and relevant for AI machine learning. You have to get your data kind of clean. Sometimes those outliers will make your forecast look wrong, right? If you put a huge coupon promotion, sell a big spike of, have a huge sales spike, you know, that might, you know, a regular forecasting function in Excel will get confused by that. But an AI forecasting tool would see that it's an outlier, and it doesn't, you don't want to put that into your forecast, because that's, yeah, we know that's an anomaly. It's not going to happen every day. You can't just continually give a 50% off sale.
To share some practical information, what data are you feeding into your tool?
Yeah, so I'm plugged into Amazon's API. So what we're doing is we're exporting sales data for every SKU by week and by day.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times this is too much work for a person to do regularly, but a computer is great at keeping track of data in a database.
Sure.
So then I'm regularly creating forecasts for products and setting up basically alerts for outliers. And typically what is an outlier with your data is products being out of stock that shouldn't be, products having too much inventory that you might not have, you know, you might not see why. Oh, well, is it suppressed or is it search suppressed? There's just little things that can happen. Oh, is your, did some other random seller change your product title or something? Weird things happen. So me and my team, we set up alerts basically to look at just a few of the KPIs, right? Inventory, sales, And it's just another set of eyes on your business to make sure things are going right.
I have a question for my listeners. Are you experiencing cash flow challenges with your Amazon business? Well, silly question. Who is not, right? So let me introduce you to Viably, a unique solution tailored for Amazon sellers and e-commerce enterprises. By connecting your Seller Central or Shopify account, you can promptly access funding along with a variety of financial tools, all for a flat fee. It's as simple as that. And for my listeners, they are offering an extra $1,500 in funding for eligible applications. Start your quick and easy application today at runviably.com/legends. And that's runviably.com/legends. So what I'm hearing is you are downloading, I mean, of course, connecting to Amazon API is much, much more efficient. But at the end of the day, you have to have a working model. You have to know this is the data I want, and this is what I do with it. And then once I do this, then this is what I do next. And so I just want to get to that level as far as what are those steps. So what I've heard from you is you are downloading the sales data on daily basis to see how many pieces you are selling for each SKU at whatever price point.
Yep.
That's the report. So that's the orders data, right? That's the orders data.
Yes.
So you turn in the orders data, because orders data is going to give you a list of all the orders between 2 days. So you can do that on a daily basis, and then you turn that into a SKU-based report. You can easily switch. And then that's what you feed into your machine learning tool.
Correct.
And is that a manual process, or is that an automated process?
I have it automated now. So we use this is for, you know, I'll say this, it's definitely a technical process, because we're using databases to keep track of all that order data, to deduplicate the order data, to run it consistently. But I think, you know, I don't want to come on here and say I have everything solved. It's more about, you know, I get inspired by the people who are building the AI tools. And I just hope maybe I can inspire, you know, one person who isn't that technical to look into these things.
So the machine learning tool that you use, is that something somebody can use also manually?
Well, so ChatGPT did just release this data interpreter is what they call it. And it lets you upload spreadsheets and PDFs and ask very detailed questions. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to use all of them to try to make sense of all the data. And typically for me, it's different clients will have different, you know, because if I have a product line with 10,000 SKUs, they have a separate problem than someone with 100 SKUs. So I love using ChatGPT to kind of summarize the data to, and maybe this leads into the next topic of snapshots, but it's around, you know, reading a spreadsheet, getting information out of that spreadsheet.
Yeah. So that's a good segue to the next one, which is about snapshots. So what is a good snapshot for you? What do you want to look at? Forget the AI part. What are you looking at on a daily basis? And at the same time, how do you use AI?
Sure. Well, whether you're running an agency, or if you own the brand or you work at a company, there's KPIs that matter to everyone, which is orders and sales and inventory, whether it's your own money and you're investing it, or if it's your company's budget and, you know, interest rates are doing what interest rates do. So everyone's feeling a little bit squeezed. So it's all about framing the key data so that either you can make a decision or your boss can make a decision, or right, everyone can know that things are going the way they're supposed to go. Or if they're not going the way they're supposed to go, what should we do about it? So I'm all about getting data, turning it into actionable stuff.
So what data do you look at, and what are the actions that you take according to what it shows?
Sure. Well, we know everyone who works with Amazon, you get how many emails a day do we get from Amazon around your inventory is this, you should promote this, these are suppressed, these are not suppressed. Right? They're using their own systems to try to generate actionable advice. Mm-hmm. And it's usually all around, okay, how do we sell more? If you have low stock, we know the action is load more inventory. Mm-hmm. If you have slow sales, we almost always know the action is lower the price, make the offer more appealing. So mm-hmm. we know there's ads or just putting a sale or a coupon, but it's, we also know that Amazon's suggestions are often very wrong. They don't have the full picture, but right. you, when you're managing your brand, you have the full picture. So it's when the AI does what you want it to do, it knows everything you know, then the suggestion is more accurate than Amazon's tools. They don't know what you know. So when you're generating that snapshot, you know, it might be an executive summary. The idea is, how do you tell the story of the business to yourself, to your boss?
Well, you know, Blair, in my work with sellers, and also as I was, when I was a seller, there are, first of all, any metric, you look at any metric, whether it's sales or your conversions or your buy box or price or whatever the metric is, you know, number of orders, they fall into three different buckets for me. First is they're growing. The second is they're declining.
Oh, yeah.
And the third is stagnant. So, frankly, my approach is in life, in fact, I do this in my company as a part of my company culture. I call it the prioritization rule. So, and this applies to anything. I tell people, look, if you've got so many things to do and you can only do one thing, which one do you pick? So right. here is the methodology. The first one you go after is stop the bleeding. The second is you follow the money. Third is you do it better. So put any task, anything. So, and you can apply this to the data. So frankly, in my book, you know, there are many, many metrics on Amazon, from conversion rates to click-through rates. Oh, to yeah. So you have to be monitoring those metrics, but you have to put those metrics into one of these three buckets. Which bucket does this metric fall into? So now there comes the second phase. If your metric is in growth mode, but it's in fact falling, equally, if a metric is in decline mode, but it's in fact rising.
Yeah.
Right? So now in each bucket, you then have to say, is this in a falling mode or is this in a rising?
What you've just described is a lot of information about a business, right. Whether your product might be, you might have multiple product lines in different life right. cycles. All of this information can be put into a different AI prompt.
Right.
And you
right.
could say, my growth SKUs are these, my declining obsolete SKUs are these. Here's a spreadsheet of data. You know, tell me something I might not see that's, you know, might not be obvious. This is what just is changing still every day, is that the prompt, the information you're giving it around the data is the most important thing to get useful and valuable information out of these AI tools.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, Blair, the challenge is to be able to separate your metrics into these modes. So what I just described is six different scenarios. So you have to be able to, and of course, in order to say, okay, this is in growth mode, but it's falling, but this is in decline mode, but it's rising. What you are immediately talking about is looking at data over time. And this is ultimately something that I have not seen AI provide yet, because you have a lot of, so this is something, I don't know any systems out there that provides this kind of prioritization. And what I always say is all the tools out there are what I call backward looking. In other words, they just say, okay, here is your profit, here's your sales, here's, and then they show you very nicely all the graphs up to today. And then, but it does, there is no prioritization of this needs looking at today, because it was in growth mode. It is in growth mode, but it's starting to fall. That is more important than looking at everything else that you are being bombarded with.
Definitely. So,
unfortunately, this is a challenge that every seller has. I don't know any tools yet. I know of one company that is working on such a tool, but I'm going to keep it a secret for now.
Of course. So, I'll say I'm working on it, but it's a hard problem, right? You're talking about growth mode, stagnant. That's essentially a product life cycle. So if you're a new brand, you might think, oh, all my products are in growth mode, but you kind of have to take a step back and go, okay, have we launched the product? Are we investing in ads and coupons the same way we are now that we were on day one? If you're not, then you're probably not in growth mode. You're probably in, okay, that's mature mode. But absolutely, what you talked about is essentially plugging the data in on a consistent basis. This is why I use the API, because I can, without a human, it's too much work for a human to download data every day, to format it. The computer does not make mistakes, but you know, it might not read the data right, or it might hallucinate. So, but that's what I'm having the most fun, especially with all my different clients and all the brands and our seller store, right? Some brands, they just want to hire us as a dedicated 3P seller. So we buy and sell their product, but most of our business is managing accounts for people. They want to be hands off. So
let's talk about automation. How do you use AI for automation?
Yeah. So I think what the big companies are doing, what you'll see is it's not just one ChatGPT copy and paste, but it's a layered approach. And sometimes people are calling it a chained approach, because you're actually asking the AI, you might have one AI to say, create product description. You'll have another AI that is a grammar bot that says, make sure this text follows, you know, English grammar perfectly, and rewrite it if it isn't. And then the next one might say, okay, but make sure it follows our brand guidelines. So we have this chained approach, and you can do this, you know, you could do this with data questions. Is this, what was your money? Stop the bleeding, follow the money. You could tell AI, you could define what stop the bleeding means. You could define what follow the money means. And you can ask it, is this problem, does it fall, which bucket does it fall into? Mm-hmm. And if you give it enough prompting, it will start to think exactly like you, because it's using your definitions. Just like when you're telling your employees, does it follow the money? And they say, well, what do you mean? And you're, come on, does it follow the money? We have to sell more of this product. Well, how do you sell more? Okay, is it a promotion? Is our content beautiful, or is it just okay, right? There's a lot of different nuance, we know, to selling more product. But the AI can start to see what you want it to see based on, yeah, information you're plugging in.
I see. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bit, unless you have a technical assistance, that's a little bit beyond your average self.
Right? Well, I'll say there's a tool called Zapier, Zapier. You can plug it into Amazon, you know, Seller Central, and it'll plug into API tools. So you can start to, you know, anyone who wants to can start to try these automation things, even though they're not technical.
Excuse me, an idea. So Zapier has been around for a long time. So it's very affordable. Anybody can subscribe.
Yes.
And so you can connect Zapier to Seller Central and then also to Google Sheets, and then say, fetch me this report every day.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Now you don't need any technical, you have data coming in every day. And then of course in Google Sheets, you can set up your, even though I'm against Google Sheets, in this case, I would make an exception.
I'll have to hear that story sometime.
Well, I'll tell you very quickly. I say very simple. Google is in the business of monetizing personal data so that they can show you more relevant ads. Very simple. So you say, well, what's wrong with it? Okay, fine. So then I say this, a thief is in the business of stealing your property for the purposes of monetizing it. So now I say, would you trust a thief with your home keys? No. So why would you trust somebody who has the same purpose with your personal information?
Well, it's a trade. You're trading. They're giving you a beautiful tool. They're giving you a spreadsheet that's connected to the world for free. That is very valuable, to have a spreadsheet that's connected to the world.
Well, you know, I love this debate. It is a debate. If you have a product that you're using that is free, you are the product. So I just don't want to be for sale. So that's my choice.
Okay.
So I love Google as a search engine. And I appreciate the personalized, but I don't want to give them any more than I have.
You can probably plug Zapier into Excel now too, right?
Yes.
Microsoft offers Excel online. So
yes, you're right. This would be perfect. But I mean, that's my position. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Blair, now that we covered all five, we've come to my favorite part of the show, which is, some of my guests call it the therapy session. So this is where we get into you in terms of getting to know you about your life experiences, because you have an interesting life in the sense that you work for your dad.
Yep.
And then your dad obviously was an entrepreneur.
Yep.
And then you kind of got the entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Oh yeah.
In your system, right?
Oh yeah. Everyone in my family owns their own business. My mom, my grandma, my brother, my other brother. Yeah, everyone.
So share with us some of your early experiences, because I do have friends whose kids have no interest whatsoever. Yeah. And then, so when was the first time you realized you are also cut from the same cloth?
Sure. I mean, in elementary school, my dad would take me to, I can't remember the store. I think it was like Eagle Hardware, to buy soda for very cheap. And instead of a lemonade stand, I would just sell, you know, Coca-Cola or whatever it was on the side of the street, right? Like just selling it. So that was at a very young age. In junior high, you know, technology, CD burners came around. So my second business was burning CDs for friends. You know, Napster was around. It was a very experimental time with technology. And now I'm having just tons of fun with experimenting with AI, because it's just, we're watching the technology unfold in front of us. It's almost all open, meaning that anyone can download a lot of these AI tools and play with them, just depending on how hungry you are and how interested you are. So I've been just having tons of fun. And as someone who's been around business owners my whole life and been a business owner for a very long time, it's work bleeds into, you know, I work from home. Work is life a little bit. Obviously, I take plenty of time off to spend time with my kids and enjoy life, but I love blending work and technology. So
what was that when you were a kid and then you see your whole family around you running businesses?
Oh yeah.
What was it that attracted you to sell lemonade? Was it the money, or was it you mentioned experiment quite a few times. So is it having the freedom to experiment with your own ideas? What was it?
Yeah, I think it was, a mixture of both. It was it was really being taught by everyone in my family that, like, oh, if you want the toy, if you want the thing, it's very easy. Just go sell this, buy this can for 25 cents, go sell it for a dollar. So do that 10 times and you can go buy a new Lego on it. There was no alternative. There wasn't, I wasn't going to get the toy for free. It was just, where I'm very thankful that my family was business owner. Now, owning a business isn't for everyone. And I have had jobs before, right? And I've worked at big companies and that's very nice too. But right now, enjoying some of the freedoms I get from being a business owner. Being taught at a young age, like, you can have anything you want. Just requires doing this work right here. And my dad would let me borrow the lawnmower to go mow my neighbor's lawns. I didn't have that much fun doing it. I had more fun burning CDs for friends because I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the technology. I enjoyed having the computer do the work for you. I saw that at a very young age and I was just in love with, that being able to have technology, it's a machine and it's doing work for you.
Was it ever a situation where you felt that my whole family is in business and they are all running businesses and I need to be like them? Did you ever do anything to kind of live up to their expectations?
Honestly, they didn't push me that way. And I, it wasn't until basically I was done with college when I really realized that my whole family was business owners. So just didn't quite, because plenty of people in my family had jobs too, right? So, but it wasn't until later when you start to think, like, okay, I'm out of college. What am I going to do? Yeah, I was actually searching for other jobs in like financial, banking and finances. I was almost an accountant, almost studied accounting in college, but then I just started working for my dad part-time while I was looking for, getting into different careers. And he was a manufacturer's rep, and he was always a manufacturer's rep, which essentially means, he was helping brands get onto the shelves of hardware stores.
Mm-hmm.
So We would go to trade shows, and at trade shows, I'm meeting business owners. Every person at a trade show is a business owner, or they're a buyer, and they have to think like a business owner because they only have so much shelf space and they only have so much budget. So every conversation was around the same KPIs that are important to Amazon sellers, which is inventory and sales, mm-hmm. right? Oh, how long is this purchase going to take for me to sell? Mm-hmm. Oh, am I buying it for, you know, a lot of products are seasonal. A lot of Amazon sellers have seasonal products. Hello, Halloween right now. How many sellers are selling Halloween costumes? They have 1 month to sell all their inventory for the year, and then they have to hold on to it for another 12 months.
Yeah.
That is it's a hard, you know, technology can only get you so far when you have challenges like that, right? Nobody knows what interest rates are going to be like next year. So when you're just, that was at a very young age where I was going to trade shows and kind of watching my dad's conversation with all these business owners. When you're in high school, you don't have any clue of what it really means to be a business owner. Obviously, there's the savant gurus on YouTube, but most people, you learn from experiencing stuff. So, yeah, I learned from my dad mostly.
So when was it? So when you were working for your dad part-time, was that when you were in college or high school? Or when was that?
It was after college.
After college. So
yep.
You were looking for a job and you started working for your dad part-time.
Yep.
But you were still looking for a job and you were just...
Yeah, my plan was to be a financial advisor. Growing up, all, you know, your friends say, oh, I want to be a professional athlete. I'm going to be a basketball player. It was always like my thing to be like, oh, I'll be your agent. I'll be your money manager. That was, for some reason, I was good. I saved a lot of money.
When did that change? When did that change that you said, okay, that's it. This is my path.
A weekend of working for my dad, he gave me a project that he thought would take a month. He thought it would take 2 weeks to a month. And using Excel, I saw and all the Excel functions, I finished it in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it wasn't anything fancy, but he is he went from probably paper and fax machines to, he's like, okay, now we're using this Excel thing. And I was just proficient in Excel, so I could use functions to do VLOOKUPs and whatever needed to be to find bad data or to match up prices. So I made him infinitely efficient, right? Because he had this work that thought it was going to take him a month. He's been putting it off or whatever. It needed to get done. You know, was he stopping the bleeding? He was trying to stop the bleeding. And I finished it in 5 minutes. And he, you know, his eyes got wide and was just like, oh, we can do so much more now. At the very same time, this was right, 2007, 2008, Amazon was just starting to buy stuff that wasn't books and DVDs. They were starting to sell the TVs and hardware. So I immediately, you know, was talking to my dad, like, why don't we get our clients onto this cool website that everyone is buying stuff? And so that's what we did. And that's what basically he was still working with all of our hardware store, you know, brick and mortar clients. And I was starting to get all of our brands onto Amazon. And there wasn't much else on Amazon. And we were working with buyers every day, right? The Amazon buyers, most people listening to this, if they're on Vendor Central, they don't even have buyers anymore because they just don't exist. Or they only work with brands that sell $10, $20, $50 million a year.
Right.
Back then, Amazon buyers were everywhere. They were bringing on any brand they could because there wasn't that much sales happening. So I was just, you know, I like that you could set up the product once, set up, upload a couple images, and it'll just sell, you know, without you. They're doing the shipping, they're doing the fulfillment, they're dealing with returns. It was just a beautiful thing. And we helped, you know, a lot of these really old school companies kind of step into the future. And that was, you know, very soon my dad wasn't looking at me like, oh, he's this part-time kid. It's like, oh, he's our digital marketing. Oh, he's our digital channel manager, because I was helping our brands. You're talking about go from zero to 100 and millions of dollars of sales back in 2007. So these companies have done, yeah, big, big stuff.
You had a soft entry.
Yes, I had a soft entry.
Soft entry. So it wasn't like an aha moment and decision.
Oh, no.
No, it was kind of.
There was no gurus back then. There was no get rich quick, because it was a new thing and you didn't know what you could possibly sell.
You found your, I mean, sure, of course. You're talking about the knowledge of, you know, how to do it on Amazon. What I'm talking about is a lifestyle change. I mean, you kind of found your groove, because a lot of people, you know, I had guests who, in fact, she's my favorite. Her name is Dani May. She's a former Amazonian, used to work on Amazon at Amazon, fairly high level, the level to even write an Amazon policy. So her entire family was like yours, entrepreneurs. And she fought all her life not to be an entrepreneur. And she did all kinds of things. Did not want. She was rebelling against that entrepreneurial culture. And guess what? One day, suddenly something happened. And she was natural at it.
Yeah.
Produced good results. And then she asked herself, why am I not doing this? And she started her business. So, you know, it's not everybody. To you, it was very natural. You were already a good fit into that mindset. And so it's a great story. You're very lucky. Very lucky.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I also got sick of working with my dad. So after, like, I think it was 4 years, I took a break. I went to a coding school. I was so into technology. I went to a coding technical school and worked as a software developer for a few years. So, you know, the biggest company I worked for is Instacart. I was there in 2014. And it was small back then, and helped grow that company as a software developer for them. It was a really cool experience. But once you learn software development, you have this new, I kind of think of it as a wizard. You know, you type stuff into the keyboard and you get whatever you want on the screen.
Right.
To create whatever you want on the screen is just a very powerful tool. Now you have things like Zapier, where you don't necessarily need to write the code. You could just think of, how do I plug this into this? Also, I'm pretty sure ChatGPT has a Zapier plugin or something like that. So you might not even need to know how to use Zapier in the near future. You could just say, I need help with Amazon reporting for this or any other business, right? You could start asking these questions, to be efficient. So I'm just a big fan of, automation, machines, tools that help you get leverage, right?
That's productivity, right?
Absolutely. The video camera makes this conversation possible. That is very cool. And now the video cameras are super cheap. Everyone can have them. And that internet bandwidth is super cheap. Everyone can have video calls, right? So it's just, I'm a fan of, the technology advancements.
So,
I'm not scared of AI taking over. I'm a fan. Yeah, I like to experiment every way I can.
There is a, I read a quote somewhere, This is so true. If you think about all these things, advancements and everything, and the quote said, everything is wonderful, nobody's happy. And that's the bottom line. You know, all these things are good, but you want to be happy because happiness brings everything to you. Or if you're not happy, it pushes things away from you.
Yeah, it's but what, you know, happiness is it's gratitude for what, being thankful for what you have, enjoying what you have, enjoying things you like doing, and being thankful for what you have.
Great conversation, Blair. So tell us, how can people reach you? Share your contact information with us.
Sure. You can actually visit blair.biz, BLAIR.BIZ. That's my website. We run an agency and a dedicated 3-piece store. So depending on different clients' needs, different brand needs, we offer, you know, we cover most problems. And a lot of our solutions are backed by technology and automation. So we don't let things slip through because the computer never sleeps. It's on your side. It's on your team. So we've got hundreds of bots running all the time, solving all of our problems. And so we can focus our brain on the big problems.
Cool. Great. Thank you, Blair. Great conversation. And I'm sure that listeners will learn a lot. And I always say, whatever you heard, if you heard 5 things, go at least use one of them. And already this episode will make a difference for you. And thanks to Blair. So thank you, Blair. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Before I go, a quick reminder to say goodbye to your cash flow problems and claim your extra $1,500 when you qualify for $25,000 or more in funding. Go to www.runviably.com/legends and start your application today. Thank you. And this brings us to the end of another episode. And I'll see you on the next.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the episode, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it too.